trees of green, red roses too.
This is Ed Cohen, your host today on Global Radio Talk Show. Many of you know me as editor of globalbusinessnews.net. We have a very special guest today. I'm really honored to welcome Amber Neben, who's written a book all about the making of a spiritual champion. The name of the book is When Schmack Happens. Amber Neben is a world champion and Olympian cyclist. Very honored to say hello and welcome to Amber.
Hi, Ed. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about the beginnings of your athletic career.
Yeah, started a long time ago as a kid. I was a soccer player, very good soccer player through high school, played, transitioned into distance running through a high school coach who pulled me aside and got me out to running. But I faced a lot of stress fractures and injuries and eventually had to surrender the sport. And I got into cycling in graduate school. And I think it was just my long time being an athlete, having the engine, having the genetic ability and the God-given talent, and moved up through the ranks really quick. Got into mountain bike racing first and eventually transitioned into road cycling. Yeah, my road cycling career went up pretty quick. Won a national championship fairly early. Faced a ton of adversity between getting started and then making the Olympic team. Adversity that was within the sport, such as a positive drug test caused by a tainted supplement, and then the crashes. I had a cancer incident, all kinds of ups and downs along the way that just made it quite the journey and quite the experience at the same time.
All right, now you are from Southern California, and you have an interest in education. You enrolled in University of California and began to pursue a PhD in molecular biology, genetics, and biochemistry. And then you would ride on a life cycle, and at that time you use the time by reading papers and textbooks, and you also attribute a lot to faith. Tell us more about that.
Okay. As a graduate student, obviously in the field I was in, there was a lot of coursework, a lot of reading, a lot of research reading that I had to keep up with. At the same time, at the core of who I was an athlete, and I loved being active, so I had to find a way to be able to do both. And sitting on the life cycle at the gym was one of the easiest ways where I could do both, because I could exercise and read my papers at the same time. It just balanced out. And looking back, it was sort of a blessing, because I developed this spin. And in the sport of cycling, your spin is pretty important. So I learned to spin circles and ride with a really high cadence just by sitting on that life cycle for hour after hour after hour in graduate school. That was, a little bit of a foundation for me as far as that goes. Then the faith side of things. For me, growing up, I just was blessed to have this faith and understanding of who God was and what he wanted to do in my life, and trusted him, and he was always faithful with me. And it was through that faith that's kept me going, just that strength and peace that's beyond myself that I've been able to rely on and just allow that to carry me through the difficulties.
You had a bout with melanoma, skin cancer. So do you think that came around from being outside a lot and not wearing sunblock while you were running or biking?
You know, that's funny. I just had a checkup with my melanoma doctor 2 days ago, and we were having the same discussion with one of his students. It's hard to say, because the melanoma was actually on my back, and you're usually covered. You know, I didn't spend a lot of time outside without a shirt on, so my back was always covered, yet at the same time I was exposed to a lot of sun. So probably a combination of the sun exposure and just possibly my genetic makeup. I know I've got a lot of history of cancer in my family, and just the environmental conditions and the genetic conditions were just right.
So let's jump around a little bit here and get into you as an Olympian. You were in China in 2008 Summer Olympics. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Beijing was such an incredible experience. I dreamed of being an Olympian as a fifth grader. I was 10 years old, and it didn't happen until I was 33 years old. So there was a lot of perseverance, a lot of hard work between the dream and the actual accomplishment of it. And then getting to China, being an Olympian, there's nothing. It's really hard to put into words. It's one of those experiences where, I mean, you're one of, there's less than 300 women selected to the team, and there's only three in the sport of cycling. So it's a huge honor. You know what it means. The cool thing is as an Olympian in a sport that's not very well known. People may not know road cycling, but they can relate or they understand what it means to be an Olympian. So that factor went into things. And then just the experience itself, the games, walking into the opening ceremonies, just walking under the tunnel with Team USA and the spontaneous chant of USA breaks out. And then you walk out onto the track and it's just flashbulbs and sound and colors. Just the most intense, amazing thing ever.
And then the experience
in China too. Yeah. Yeah. So that was really special. And then the athletes' village where we lived and stayed was, it was actually a very Western environment. So I didn't really get a taste of the culture of China that much because we were so insulated and protected inside the village. You know, we're pretty focused on what we're doing while we're at the games. But just being in the village itself, being surrounded by athletes of all shapes and sizes and colors at the same level you're at is a pretty, pretty cool experience. And it's one of the few times where, you know, you look around and you know everybody understands what it takes to get there. And it's kind of a fun feeling.
Hey, let's get back to what you were talking about, the training time on the life cycle and how it helped you do spinning. What's spinning?
When you spin, if you think about pedaling a bike, you're pedaling circles. And the idea is to pedal a circle versus to pedal a square or a rectangle. And by that I mean a lot of times you get on a bike and you just push down. And really to be efficient, you have to be able to pedal through the circle of the pedal stroke. And when you sit on a life cycle, there's not a lot of resistance in the your cadence can how many revolutions per minute you turn your legs over. That can get quite high. And so you really develop an efficiency in pedaling in a circular motion versus just pedaling in a broken kind of a square rectangular pattern.
Drill down with me for a second and perhaps with some of our listeners on going through the circle, cycling through a circle, as opposed to, as you mentioned, square or something else. What do you mean by going, what's the mental thing here about going through a circle?
It's really as you push with your, if you just think one leg at a time, you're pushing over the top, you're pushing down. At the bottom of the pedal stroke, it's almost like you're scraping mud off of your shoe as you come across the bottom, and then you got to pull back up, and then you're back around at the top again. And so it's trying to be able to do that movement without really thinking about it. It just, you do it so many times that it's ingrained into you. And that is like a more circular motion versus just pushing down, you know, stomping down, like a leg press or a step up where all you do is step down. And that's one aspect of the pedal stroke, but it's not the complete physiology of it.
Now, when you're doing that, you're using a lot of muscles throughout your back and, of course, your legs and the bottom of your feet where the pressure point is. But how do you keep your knees tuned up, if you will, well-oiled and working right? Because it's a lot of knee action, right?
Yes, a ton of knee action. And one of the most important things for people who are going to go out and ride a bike is to set the bike up properly. You want to get the saddle height correct, and you want to get the fore aft position of the saddle correct, and that will take a lot of stress off your knees if you're sitting properly. The other thing that I have done through my entire career is used a pedal cleat system that is a free float pedal, and I've used Speed Play pedals, and they're actually based in San Diego, but they allow me to have a little bit of float in my connection between my foot and my pedal so that if there is any issue, irregularity in my pedal stroke, that my foot's not locked into a position where that irregularity is going to get caught up in my knee. And because there's the free float, then my ankle can move, my foot can float a little bit, and then my knee's not locked into a position that is bad for it. And I think just the combination of having a good bike fitter, my coach, Dave, over the years was a great bike fitter, and so he kept me in a position where I didn't hurt myself. And then the pedal system that I chose to use, the Speed Play pedals, just has prolonged my career from an injury standpoint at my knees.
So you're still biking today, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah, and so what is the weight of your current bike? I'm sure you have more than one bike, but let's just say, just pick a bike that you have. And how much would it weigh? It's not very heavy, is it?
No, you know, when I set that bike up for racing, it's about 15 pounds. It's very light. The wheels are very light.
Let's circle around now and get back to your achievements as a cyclist. You have won a world championship, haven't you? Tell us about that.
Yeah, in 2008, I won the individual time trial world championship. It took place in Varese, Italy, and that was, to this day, my most special victory. It was this accumulation of years and years and years of hard work. And then you have the ride where on that day everything comes together. You have good legs. Your heart is in a good place. Your mind is in a great place. Spiritually, you're in a great place. And it's just like that day, that perfect day where everything came together. And then to win a world championship. In the sport of cycling, a world championship is huge. You gain the recognition and the honor of being able to wear the world championship stripes the following year. And then for the rest of your career, you're known as a world champion. It's a very, very high honor. In addition to that, just being able to stand on the podium with the American flag being raised and you hear the national anthem, knowing everything that went into it. For me, knowing the work that I had put in, knowing everything I had overcome to get there, it was crazy intense with emotions. And I started crying on the medal stand, but it's a pretty amazing thing.
Wow. Okay, now you've had some serious injuries. Has that, combined with your faith, prompted you to go forward? And where will you take it? Will you go and will you try to be involved in the Olympics 2016?
You know, I had a knee surgery when I first started my career where they removed a plica. Later, I've had numerous crashes where you have lots of skin removed and bumps and bruises that I've healed fairly well from. And then there was really a series of really bad stuff that happened from 2009 through 2010. One of them was a crash in Italy where I supermanned off the bike and landed with my arms out and spun around and caught a guardrail and almost ripped my finger off, the tip of my pointer finger. And I also broke my shoulder in that one. That required skin graft surgery to fix the finger. There was another one in Italy where we were going downhill about 50 miles an hour, and the person in front of me crashed, and her bike sawed my fork in half while I was on it. And so then my head and my shoulder went straight into the pavement. Luckily, I came away with only a completely shattered collarbone and another surgery for that. There was another incident where I was going around a right-hand corner, and a couple of girls were sliding out and crashing in front of me. And as I tried to miss them and ride off the course to just stay upright, I came into contact with some really solid metal barriers, and my left hand just went straight into the metal barrier, and it just completely broke my second metacarpal in my hand. So that required surgery and another plate. So I've got lots of hardware in me. But I recovered from all those, came back from them, made the Olympic team. I was doing okay until about a year ago. The crash that actually inspired When Schmack Happens happened at the Tour of California. And it was actually caught on video. So, I mean, people can see this one if they want to see it. But I was descending down a mountain about 35 miles an hour coming out of a corner that I expected to open up into a straight road. And there was one more chicane. And so I had the wrong speed and the wrong line. And I just went straight into the side of the mountain. And I was really a miracle to walk away from that one with only a shattered iliac crest and a couple broken ribs and a broken nose. Those are the highlights or the lowlights of the injuries.
Okay, so now you had some physical therapy, of course, and part of the medicines stayed in your system, and so you ran into a problem with that, didn't you?
Well, yeah, no, I didn't, not with that. That was years earlier. It was actually, I was having some issues with cramping, and I had started to use a supplement. There was an electrolyte that helped with that and some other things that for our team, we were sponsored by a company. And so I tried those products, and unfortunately, one of them was contaminated, and it caused me to test positive. And honestly, to this day, that I don't necessarily understand why stuff like that happens, but it happened, and I had to go through it. And to this day, that's still the hardest thing that I've had to face, because that's the one thing where, I mean, that's your integrity. That was my integrity that was scarred. And it's not like you can go back and definitively prove you didn't do anything. I mean, I had all the circumstantial evidence in the world that, you know, 9 days earlier I had a drug test where I was clean and there were no traces. And 3 and 4 days later I had won races, and so I was tested there and I was clean. And so it was just this one little spot, this one little blurb where I was 1.8 billionth over the limit. And it was like getting struck by lightning. And yeah, that was, like I said, to this day, still the hardest thing that I had to go through. And there's not a lot you can do about it.
Now, in terms of your faith, and I bring this up because it's mentioned through this, you've had these challenges, physical for sure, but the mental challenges that come with all of that, about continuing, about proving yourself, and about surviving and growth. Would you like to take a minute to describe how you found the faith and how it came to you and how you found its renewing power has been a source of strength?
Yeah, you know, at a very young age, I got to know this Jesus person, and I had a really, really good understanding of how much he loved me, and that he had loved me. He loved me enough to die for me, and that really stuck with me as a kid, and I grew up with that, and that strength, or that default setting, so when life got hard, to just know that this God of the universe loved me enough to die for me, you know, he had to have my back, and so I had to trust him, even though I couldn't understand what was going on, or maybe, you know, I didn't really see the positives in it. It was like I had to trust that he had a plan, and as I trusted and as I persevered, he was always faithful. At every stage of my career, at every stage of my life, he's always been faithful and provided me with that peace that I cannot explain, a strength inside me that is beyond me, a purpose in life, to know that there's something bigger, just to have this understanding that there's a bigger picture in life. And yeah, these troubles and these challenges are hard, but at the same time, as I go through them, he's working in me and doing great things in me so that I'm equipped and I can help other people, or I'm ready to do something down the road. And so it's been a long process, and it hasn't been just like one thing, but it's just been a series of things. And as I've been challenged, instead of turning away from God, I've turned toward him. And as I've turned toward him and drawn near to him, he's pulled me close, and he's held me in his arms and just provided me with that strength that I've needed on a daily basis.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation with you, Amber Neben. The book is called When Schmack Happens, The Making of a Spiritual Champion. So tell us about that.
Okay, so schmack. To really understand what schmack means, you got to see the video. There's a link in the book. If you Google my last name, Neben and Crash, you can see it on YouTube. But essentially, I hit the mountain so hard. It was just like, how do you describe that? And it was just like, man, it was just schmack. You know, I just hit the wall. So that's kind of where it comes from. At the same time, it's just that idea that adversity, bad stuff, challenges that happen. So I just kind of took the term schmack and tried to coin a term that would encompass adversity. And it would be fun and it would catch attention. And so that's where it comes from.
What's your website?
My website is amberneben.com.
That's AmberNeben.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being our guest today on Global Radio Talk Show. This is Ed Cohen signing off now from Old Town in San Diego. Thank you, Amber.
Thank you.
I think to myself, what a wonderful